Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
You know, there's a great question that we ought to ask ourselves and then ought to answer from the Bible. And the question is this: what can defile a man? What can defile a man? Well, according to Jesus Christ, nothing from without entering into a man can defile him. It's the things which come out of him that defile him. Now, you know, there's a lot of attention these days on selecting organic foods, eating gluten-free foods, maintaining the balance of fat and carbs and protein in your diet, avoiding sugar, getting plenty of exercise, you know, all that kind of stuff. A lot of attention on that these days. And many Christians have started eating healthier. And some have even gotten into other things like essential oils and other health products. But you know what can happen if you're not careful is that you can concentrate so much attention on taking care of your body that you neglect your spirit. You can lead yourself to believe that if your body is clean, then you are clean. Now, I'm all for nourishing your body properly. And I believe that Paul was too. He says in Ephesians 5:29, "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." So I got that. I'm all for nourishing your body properly. But I don't believe that you can keep your spirit from being defiled by watching what you eat or by exercising sufficiently or by using certain oils and health products. Paul, speaking of exercise, made it very clear that there is a difference between bodily exercise and godliness. He said, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, "For bodily exercise profiteth little." In other words, it is profitable, but not very much, a little bit. But he says, "But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." So he, of course, preferred godliness to bodily exercise, but he didn't shun bodily exercise, knowing that it has some profit. Anyway, going on with this message then, I don't believe you can keep your spirit from being defiled by watching what you eat or by exercising or by using certain oils or using certain health products. However, when you read about these things or you watch how they've affected some Christians, you see that there is an inordinate amount of attention being paid to the body these days. Now, Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, verse 19, that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him. What's the context? Let's read the whole thing. Matthew chapter 7, verse 14. "When he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, Are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats? We'll read the rest of the passage here in just a minute. He's talking about being defiled, and to defile means to make something unclean or to pollute it. The reason things from without cannot defile him is that they don't enter into his heart, but rather into his belly. Jesus said, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. You see, it's the things that are within that come out of a man's heart. Those are the things that defile him. Mark chapter 7, verse 20, continue to read. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Now, the Pharisees were hypocritical because they were accusing Jesus Christ and his disciples of eating, of defiling themselves because they were eating with unwashed hands, which was contrary to the tradition of the elders. And so they accused Jesus Christ, that you've defiled yourself because you didn't wash your hands before you ate. And the Lord said, that's not how you defile yourself. The stuff that comes from without is not what defiles you. So let's go look and see what these things are that defile a man, that come from within him. First of all, you are defiled by evil thoughts. Evil thoughts in verse 21 of Mark chapter 7. Now God is the only one who can see your evil thoughts. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now God knows your thoughts. He is the only one who can see your evil thoughts. Until they manifest themselves in who you become. I mean, do you remember in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, that Solomon said, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he? So the Lord says the first problem in the heart is evil thoughts, indicating that what you've got in you are these thoughts that then manifest themselves in your actions, and you become what you're thinking about or have been thinking about. And God knows what they are, and he calls them evil. Now, the best way to nip sin in the bud is to deal with it before it lodges in your mind. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There you go. So what has to happen is that as soon as a thought comes up in your mind that's evil of anything, then you have to deal with it immediately if you don't want that thing to start manifesting itself in sin, coming out in some sort of action in your life. I have found in my life, I've found it to be true in other Christians' lives, that when you sin something, you know, particularly in an area where you've got a besetting sin, the thing keeps coming up again and again. Here's the problem. If you will, the moment you commit that sin, if you will start tracing back the lust that built to bring to pass that sin, if you'll start working backwards, you will find that what started it was an evil thought. It could have been 2 or 3 days before, or it could have been moments before, but nonetheless, it's an evil thought. And the Lord says, you know what? I don't care whether you eat a hamburger or a piece of chicken or lettuce or broccoli. That doesn't make any difference to me. You know, if you got to nourish your body the best way that you can, you figure out what works best in your body. I'm not concerned about that. What I'm concerned about, what's down in your heart that's defiling you, and that's evil thoughts. And a person can be pristine in their diet and in their exercise and in their other health aids and be wicked as hell down in their heart. Okay? And evil thoughts will defile you. He said the second thing in the list is adulteries. That's also in Mark chapter 7, verse 21. Now, you understand about adulteries. You don't have to commit this sin physically to commit this sin. You commit the sin of adultery in your heart when you look on a woman to lust after her. Jesus Christ made that very plain in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. He says in Matthew 5:28, I say unto you, he's clarifying the law. The law in verse 27, thou shalt not commit adultery. Verse 28, I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Defiles a man. Don't you know that this generation in the United States is very adulterous? I mean, with all the display of sexually provocative things in magazines, billboards, internet, television, movies, on and on it goes. But I mean, people are really, really, really having difficulty with this sin, and it's down in your heart. You're also defiled, according to Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 7, verse 21, by fornications which are down in your heart. Now, you commit this sin, unlike adultery, you commit the sin of fornication by physically committing it. In other words, you commit this sin physically, but, as you see in the text, it starts with the thought. And then from the thought, it develops with the lust. And then finally, it manifests itself in the act. There are a number of good examples in the Bible, but Proverbs chapter 7 perhaps is one very convenient if you're a reader of the Proverbs each day of the month. You know, in other words, on the first day of the month, you read the first proverb and so forth. Then you're going to come across Proverbs chapter 7, you know, a dozen times a year. And the young man in Proverbs chapter 7, beginning in verse 7, is a good example of this fornication down in the heart thing. Proverbs 7:7, we'll read down to verse 10. And beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. Now the thing goes on to describe them, you know, committing fornication. But notice something. This young man in Proverbs chapter 7 found what he had been thinking about and lusting for before he found her. You say, how do you know that? Verse 8, passing through the street near her corner. Look, there are a lot of places to walk without getting near her corner. And he went the way to her house. He was looking. He was looking to get in trouble with fornication. And so he starts out with something that was in his heart. And when he finds what he's looking for, then he commits the sin. You're defiled by evil thoughts, adulteries, and fornications, and they're down in your heart. Mark chapter 7, verse 21 also says, what's down in your heart that defiles you is murders. You say, well, I've never killed anybody. You know, that's a funny thing. In dealing with people about the Lord Jesus Christ, dealing with the condition of their soul, you'll ask them, are you saved? And, you know, have you ever trusted the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, commonly, people have said, well, I've never killed anybody. well, we never accused you of doing that in the first place. But they say, I've never killed anybody. As if that's the way to judge that they are worthy of heaven. But may I tell you something? You don't have to kill somebody, according to the Bible, to be a murderer, because it's something that starts down in your heart. Matthew chapter 5, good example again, verse 21, 22. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and so forth. So he says, you don't have to kill him. You just got to be angry with him. In 1 John chapter 3, the language is also very strong. And I take 1 John chapter 3 with a mild or a moderate dispensational view. I think it has something to do with the tribulation, frankly. But in 1 John chapter 3, verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Ugh. Let me tell you something, boy. You consider these family feuds and church splits. There's some hatred down in some of that stuff. And I'm going to tell you what, the Lord says that sin comes from a heart that is motivated by murder. That's what's defiling the man. That's why Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's what Paul said. He said, you need to be kind and tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Why? Because what's down in that heart is murder. And it manifests itself in anger and evil speaking and malice and wrath and clamor and all that other stuff. You find yourself running down somebody else, I'll tell you what it's showing you. You got a murderer's heart, even though you'll never pull the trigger. You are defiled in your heart by thefts. Mark chapter 7, verse 22. Thefts. Now listen, a man doesn't become a thief by stealing. In other words, you know, if he's never stolen anything, you don't say, well, that guy's not a thief. He's never stolen anything. No. He steals because he is a thief at heart. In other words, the theft was already in there. The first time that he steals, that's not when he becomes the thief. He was already the thief. And that's the case with Judas Iscariot. In John chapter 12, when Mary comes to anoint the Lord Jesus Christ and breaks that alabaster box, and that ointment of spikenard is put on his body, Judas Iscariot has indignation against her, and he says, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? In John chapter 12, verse 6 says, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, watch it, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. That stuff's down in the heart. What defiles a man? What can defile a man? Well, it's the stuff that's down in the heart. Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts. You know why some men tell you that you're not supposed to tithe in the New Testament? It's not because they have a better doctrinal understanding of the Bible. It's because, according to Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, they're thieves. Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You say, yeah, but that passage was written to Israel. I realize that. But I also know the definition of the tithe. The tithe, according to Leviticus chapter 26, verses 30 to 32, is the Lord's. It's already his. And Abraham paid it before the law. You know what else is down in that heart? There are a number of other things, and I see that we've got a long list and less time, so we're going to go through it. Covetousness in Mark chapter 7, verse 22, will defile you. According to Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, covetousness is idolatry. And the problem with idolatry, starts in the heart. In Ezekiel chapter 14, when the Lord said, I got certain people that are coming to inquire of the prophet, you know, to inquire of me, and they have idols in their heart. Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart. And he said, and I'm going to answer them according to those idols. Now, for us in the New Testament, covetousness stems from a lack of contentment. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, we are told to be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And when you read about the one sin that is the root of all evil, it is the love of money, and it comes from a lack of contentment. The context of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 is verse 6, which says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Verse 8 says, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But in verse 10, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. Covetousness stems from a lack of contentment. That's the problem. You say, well, I don't know how to deal with that. Quit watching all those advertisements. Quit looking at all those things that you want. And start looking at what you already have. Another sin that's deep down in the heart that will defile you is wickedness in Mark chapter 7, verse 22. And another one is deceit. And these two sins are best described together in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, he says. You know why God destroyed the world in Noah's day? He destroyed the world in Noah's day because of the wickedness that was down in their hearts. And let me tell you something. It's no different today. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's what we got going on here. And in this evil time in which we live, men are easily deceived. And the reason is the deceit is already down in the heart, and it doesn't take much to trigger it with seducers and evil men, which are waxing worse and worse, the Bible says. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving, watch it, and being deceived. It's already down in the heart. The next one is lasciviousness. And I believe lasciviousness is the manifest sin of our times. Lascivious means feeling and often revealing an overt and often offensive sexual desire. That's what you got going on today. The Supreme Court just approved it. Said, man, you can go any way you want to. Now, this is the sin that destroyed Sodom. It's the sin that nearly destroyed the tribe of Benjamin. And this sin is the sin that is slowly but surely destroying our country. Lasciviousness. And you know where it is? Down in the heart. You say, I just can't believe we're allowing all this thing. Well, what's happened is it's been down in the heart and it's been fed by Hollywood and all this other stuff for so long. Now, here it comes. Another one that's down in the heart that will defile you is an evil eye. And according to Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 and 23, an evil eye is the opposite of a single eye. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light, but if thine eye be evil, it shall be full of darkness. A single eye, listen, sees only what God wants you to see, the way God wants you to see it. And an evil eye looks at what God doesn't want you to see, or it looks at what God wants you to see, but not the way God wants you to see it. You understand? That's an evil eye. And that stuff is down in the heart. Another sin of the heart that will defile you is blasphemy in Mark chapter 7, verse 22. And this has to do with taking the name of the Lord in vain, which is against the third commandment that you find in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You know why your mouth speaks blasphemy? Because in your heart you have a vain imagination of God, and out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Another sin of the heart that will defile you is pride in Mark chapter 7, verse 22. And pride, like all of these other sins, is rooted in your heart. And you have that from a child. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And pride is down in the heart of a child. That's what stems his rebellion against you when you're raising him. And pride in your heart is an abomination to the Lord, according to Proverbs 16:5. You say, well, how do I deal with it? Humble yourself before the Lord. Humble yourself before the Lord. He abases the proud and he exalts the humble. James chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And then foolishness is the other sin that's down in your heart that will defile you. And foolishness is a heart problem. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it from him, or far from him. Now, listen, if you listen when men speak, you can hear the foolishness that's in them. Because they speak from the foolishness of their heart, according to Proverbs 12:23. Now, they may profess themselves to be wise. That's Romans 1:22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I'll just say it this way. If what they say doesn't line up with what God said, if what they say doesn't line up with the Word of God, then they're not wise. Why? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if they don't fear the Lord, then they don't have wisdom. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. If they don't know God, they don't have wisdom. They have foolishness, though they may profess themselves to be wise. So to wrap this up, while it would not be wise to neglect your physical health, it is essential that you understand that good health and a wicked heart are not nearly as beneficial to you as a clean heart, even with poor health that's strengthened by the grace of God. Paul said, I take pleasure in my infirmities. Why? Because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. How? By the grace of God. So concentrate your effort with the Lord predominantly on dealing with what's down in your heart. Deal with those sins in there that defiled you. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. 6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.